It's the Fri-Yay Cocktail, presented by Anna Glavinsky.
We're diving into a memoir that's part backstage pass and part soul searching. Jimmy Ryan is a veteran of the studio and the stage, and he's with me now to talk about his raw and revealing new book. It's called California Dreaming and Primal Screaming. And basically, it's a journey through the wild world of fame and what that's like. And then pretty wild path as well towards self-healing. So, Jimmy, yes, fantastic. I wasn't sure without the video there. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Just going straight in, what made you decide to write a book about two such contrasting topics? So external fame versus inner reflection and healing, a bit of a contrast.
Well, because I'm a veteran of the music industry, I've been doing it. I don't want to reveal my age, but I've been doing it about 60 years now, at the top end of it. You know, that it's been a fun ride with a few dips, but I wrote my first book, The Superstar Chronicles, Tales of Life Among Rock Royalty, dealt with the glitter, the fun and the stage things and the concerts and working with rock stars and all that. But there's another side to the industry. And that other side is that most of these rock stars that look like they're having the wonderful life are miserable inside. What's going on? And I felt that way too. I had achieved pretty much everything I ever wanted to do. And yet, why did I not feel good? So I started exploring. First thing I did was a thing called primal therapy. Oh boy. Primal therapy, John Lennon kind of made that famous, is where you get either with a group of people or with a therapist and you take a phrase, just a simple phrase like, I don't like this. And you start getting louder. I don't like this. I don't like this. I hate it. And you start screaming. Oh my God, you feel good afterwards. It's like you're just unloading all this stuff that it's not cool to unload under any other circumstance.
Yeah.
So I did that for 2 years and I felt really good, but there was still some things undone. And the one thing I didn't want to do is I didn't want to join the 27 Club. And just for your listeners, in case you don't remember that reference, that was all the huge rock stars that died at 27. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison seemed to be a magic number. And I was getting to be around 27. I didn't feel suicidal. It was never that bad. But these people weren't dealing with those inner feelings. And I said, it's time to write a book about this. Because I'm kind of an expert on it, only because I've done so many things. I've done primal therapy, one-on-one therapy, LifeSpring, EST, hypnotic regression, the occult, psychics, the whole nine yards. And I thought, there's a wealth of knowledge here, and people could really benefit from this. Not that I'm advising any one therapy, but giving you a menu and saying, go ahead.
You've done so many different things in terms of therapy, but also, you know, you had a very rich life in the music industry before you even started going down that path. So I guess you're in the perfect position to sort of talk about the two different ways of living. You know, I know you're not saying there's one therapy, which is one way of life, but, you know, the fact that you're even soul searching and exploring is as one way of life, should we say, versus seeking external validation all the time, as you would have been in the world of fame. But something I want to pick up on is what you said there about you realized that everyone around you didn't feel good and you didn't either. I figure that you were partying. You mentioned that it was all glitz and glamour. So what? How could you pick up on what made you identify that other people were feeling rubbish?
Oh, it's right out in front of you. You know, short tempers, bad marriages, drugs, the need to suppress these feelings. For me, I used therapy. I wasn't 100% drug free. I stopped very early on, though. The need to suppress what's going on inside, people turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. They turn to all these external things to shut down the nervous system. And that doesn't solve anything. it just shuts it down for the time being. And that eats away at you. And there is plenty of research that says it has a physical effect on you. Cancer, diabetes, things like that, diseases that stress really feeds. And I knew about that. I had read about it. And this was all going on simultaneously. I was playing with Carly Simon for 21 years, concerts. I did all her albums. I was the guitar player on You're So Vain. Carly was going through the same thing as I did. So she and I did, well, I learned transcendental meditation first, and then I became a TM teacher and I taught her. So she started meditating and working on her inner demons. But you can feel it. Once you open that window and pull the veil aside, you see it all around you. It becomes very obvious. When you're shutting it down in yourself, you don't see it. It's just everybody, you know.
And the people in the fame circles, are they open? How do you even start the conversation to talk about, you know, if you're saying that you're introducing Carly to this meditation, presumably you are talking about your feelings. So there must have been room somewhere for this conversation to start between you all. Was that a delicate subject? Is it a difficult thing to bring up among people who are ambitious, craving fame, looking like they're having the time of their life? How do you create that moment of calm or safe space to even start talking to each other about that sort of thing?
Well, first of all, they're not always looking like they're having the greatest time in their life. Well, that's a facade. That's a facade. That's the face that comes up when the spotlights are on. In the background, it's a very different face. I remember going to a party and somebody who I always saw and thought was just the light of the room, the whole thing. He was at a party, and I'm not going to mention his name, but he was very, very famous at the time. And he's walking around the party with a cookie jar of cocaine and smearing it on his nose and looking so miserable. Most people don't get to see this side. When you're on the inside of the industry, you see it all the time. As far as it being a difficult conversation, not for Carly and me. We were very close friends before she ever made a record. That's a whole story that's covered in my first book, The Superstar Chronicles. But when I started doing this, she was immensely interested. We had talked about this kind of stuff all the time. You know, she had a very difficult upbringing. Mine wasn't so difficult as it was Catholic. I was a captive Catholic, and that has its own difficulties, you know, the guilt and hell and Satan and all that stuff. And that was, you know, the soldering iron in my eyeball. Anyway, so this book is a collection of those stories, and some of them are hilarious. Some are a little bit scary. The one on the occult is very scary. I tried to make them interesting and fun reads as opposed to clinical. There's nothing clinical in this book. It's a real easy read.
Is it is it talking about your experiences, a very sort of heart on sleeve, this is what I did and this is what I went through?
100%. That's all it is. It is only my experience. It describes what I was going through during these therapies and how they worked and what they did for me. It's very firsthand. You're sitting right next to me in the therapy room. And the hypnotic regression was the wildest ride I've ever been on, because it goes into previous lifetimes.
No. So are you a believer in previous lifetimes then?
Well, there's a chapter on beliefs.
Yeah.
And beliefs are not facts. Beliefs are beliefs. So what I do is I hold everything a little bit loosely and wait for proof. But okay, this thing was as close as I've ever gotten to it, because I was there. I was hypnotized, but I was conscious. You don't lose the present. Well, you don't focus on the present moment, but you certainly focus. And it was much more of a memory than it was something that anybody was pulling up. And nobody pulled anything up. This just came out of me. And here I was in the life in between lives, before you incarnate. And then all of a sudden I'm back in Texas somewhere where I was a preacher. And it's crazy. And I was sitting there and said, oh my God, I remember this.
Wow.
It was a memory. It was not a conjuring up of anything, and nor was it suggested by the hypnotherapist. He didn't suggest anything. He just took me down there. He says, just go to a time much earlier than today, and I'm going to bring you back, and what do you see? And I'm like, whoa. And it's almost like somebody just pulled curtains back. So, yeah, you'll be sitting next to me during those sessions, and they're wild.
And does it give you a sense of peace? But having feeling like you've had these past lives and then, you know, knowing what's coming, does that give you like a sense of peace of thinking, you know, what's coming? You know, it doesn't just end. There's more opportunities out there and sort of make you feel calmer and more steady in this life that you are living now?
100%. And here's what happens at the end of that road. No more fear of death. Wow. The fear of death is gone. It's just like, oh, wait, this is just a movie I'm in. And, you know, we're going to take a break in a little while and we're going to start another movie.
What an interesting outtake.
And it's so firsthand. It's so right in that moment. It's not a belief. It's a memory. And when you see that memory, you say, oh, my God, what am I worried about? You know, yeah, there's going to be some pain here and there's going to be things to work out and all that stuff. But in the end, you know, you just on to the next adventure. So, yeah,
so it's all got rid of your fear of death. What about the way that you approach your life, how you want to live? The idea of seeking fame or encouraging loved ones around you to perhaps seek or not seek fame. How has it changed your outlook on how you live your life?
Well, I'm a lot more casual about that side of it. I mean, you know, now at my tender age of years old, I'm touring now with a tribute band. We're doing Creedence Clearwater Revival, and I'm having the time of my life because I've already been famous. I don't need it anymore. I'm not craving that adulation. In fact, it's kind of, you know, I'm doing it. It's fun. You know, I like playing, but the need to be a superstar or the need to, I did a lot of film scoring back in the day too. The need to get a Grammy or an Oscar. Yeah, it's gone. I don't care anymore.
And chicken or egg question for people who are sort of locked into that life of wanting fame and desiring that adulation, as you say, do you think that the fame just traps people in it, or do you, and it like creates people to have even worse mental health, to become even more disconnected from themselves? Or do you think that these are people who are seeking fame because they would have felt like that anyway?
It's tricky. The way, I don't know whether you remember this because you're maybe a couple of years younger than me, 50 years younger than me. A famous promoter, Bill Graham, who ran the Fillmore East and the Fillmore West here in the States, had a great quote. He says, what do you do when you have everything you've ever wanted and you're still not getting off? That's the warning I have for people who are seeking fame, young people. Yeah, you're going to have fun and you're going to maybe make a lot of money and you're going to have all these fans. But guess what? You can't go to that restaurant anymore unless you have bodyguards. You can't go out of your house because there's paparazzi everywhere. There's another side to it that you're not thinking about. And when you get to that top spot, you realize that it's a little bit empty. That these people, they don't love you. They love something that you put out there. And when you start, or when you stop putting that stuff out there, or when your records stop bombing, or your movie doesn't make it, all of a sudden they turn to somebody else. They drop you like a hot potato, and you have to be prepared for this kind of emptiness at the top. It doesn't mean don't do it, because it really can be a lot of fun. It just means go into it with open eyes.
And do you think you would have been able to hear that advice if you'd read your book before you discovered everything that you've gone through, you know, a younger version of yourself?
I made sure that people who read the book would get that. It's in the book, and it's I try not to proselytize. I don't preach at all in the book, and I started to, and my wife said, "Nah, don't do that. That sounds preachy." You know, and I said, "Okay, we took that out." I just relate my own experience with it, and if that's your experience, and if you get that, then that'll be helpful. But it never hits you over the head with, you should do this or you should do this. There's no shoulds in the book at all. It's fair. All just, here's what I did. Do you relate to this? Maybe.
Fair.
And there's things to relate to and plenty of things you might not relate to. So
yeah, people might take it advice or just see it as a story. And now you also mentioned that you're still touring, so music is still a very big part of your life. What about out of all these therapies that you've tried, how many of them have stayed in and they're like part of your daily routine, the ones that you've clung on to?
The one that I have stuck to since day one is TM, the meditation, because it's easy. You just sit in a chair in the morning, you do it, and it kind of perks you up for the day. That one has stuck with me. Primal therapy is kind of inconvenient. You know, you can't be sitting at the restaurant and say, oh, I'm not feeling good. that one's not. The effects of that are still good, but I don't do that anymore. A lot of the other stuff you have to go somewhere to do. You have to sit with a therapist. You have to sit with a hypnotherapist. You have to attend an S training or a LifeSpring training or a forum training. None of those things exist anymore. They're all kind of gone. So the only one that's a daily practice is the TM and the yoga. And that's very helpful because I'm 78 years old and I have perfectly normal blood pressure. I take no medicine. It's very, very, very helpful and very easy to do.
Yeah, well, just even hearing you on the radio, you know, your voice, your liveliness sounds as strong as ever. So it really should be an inspiration to anyone if they're listening to you or also picking up your book. I imagine it's as lively as you've been speaking with me today. Would you say so?
It's crazy. And so is the first book. The first book is very much fun. That's the one that's all the glitter for those who want to see what fame is like and being with famous people and what it's like to hang out with them. That's what that book's about.
Absolutely. So if anyone's interested, then you can look up Jimmy Ryan, maybe pop it into Google if you want to find out about all the books, or California Dreaming and Primal Screaming you can find on the Talk Radio Europe bookshop or on Amazon. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Anna.
Bye-bye.
My pleasure.